Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
While the world whizzes by, enjoy a moment of me time with Tim Horton's $6 breakfast bundle. Savor a small hot or iced coffee, then add your choice of a mouth-watering hot breakfast sandwich and a crispy golden hash brown and your pick of a classic donut.
Yeah.
All for $6, all just for you. Make your mornings all about me time with our $6 breakfast bundle. Available at your neighborhood Tim Hortons. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.
Is the limit of our sense of adventure going to the Tetons? You know what I mean? To Rocky Mountain National Park. And sure, doing a hike that's a little bit harder than what you thought it was. Or maybe going to Budapest and getting robbed. Is that the limit of what can happen to us in this modern age? Welcome to The Crunch, the only podcast recording live from the horns of Hattin during the battle between Saladin and the Knights Templar. It's your boy Ethan.
And I'm Patrick, and we went to the horns.
Yes, we did.
Remember?
Yep. Look out. Here comes a medieval. There's the archers are coming. Look out. Duck. Here they come.
They're throwing swords at us.
It was
great.
Yeah.
We went to the horns not recently.
And what's your name?
I'm Patrick. This is The Crunch. The Crunch is a show where Ethan and I talk about the inner workings of the politics of the First Crusade.
We talk about the Israel-Palestine conflict every week.
And we also make jokes, and we think more people should have conversations like this, and we're glad you're here. I remember when we went to the horns of Hattin, it was a tough climb. But we got there.
No, it was easy. Everyone famously in our group had an easy time at it.
Yeah.
And we famously did not get lost on the way back down.
No, the horns of Hattin was the first thing we went to, and that part was kind of steep. And then the rest of it was smooth sailing, in my opinion.
I don't think it was. I think we genuinely, we had to go down the side of a mountain, incorrectly to get back to the bus. Do you not remember that?
Oh, that's right. We did get lost in the
that's what I was trying to tell you.
Galilean desert, yeah.
Yeah. We were close to a road, so
You'd be surprised how easy it is to get lost in a place with no trees. You'd think it'd be like, oh.
Yeah, because people never get lost in the desert or the ocean. What are you smoking today?
No, first of all, getting lost in the ocean is a different thing because there's also no land. But see, in the desert, how could you possibly get lost? Just climb to the top of a dune.
Guy who's about to die in a desert.
I would never go to a desert because I have dry skin and I would get dried out too quickly. The only two times I went to a desert were the worst. They were both in Phoenix and I didn't like it either time. Never do it again. I guess I also went to the desert in Israel, but
you did.
So three times. Yeah. I didn't like that either. I hated Jericho so much. All of our Jericho listeners, sorry.
I don't think we have any listeners in Jericho because there's only 80 Christians that live there. So
and
I don't
most
think,
of them don't go to church.
Yes, I do not think we have any. We might have some Islamic listeners. However, maybe. I don't think they would like what we have to say.
No.
Probably.
People say, oh, do you want to have a large lukewarm church or a small faithful church? Like, how about a small lukewarm church? That's the worst.
Because that's what we have in America.
No, we have a pretty big lukewarm church.
No, it's
Catholics
small.
Make up 25% of the country.
Nominally.
That's the lukewarm part.
No, the lukewarm part is the people who go to mass and still contracept and, you know, vote for abortion politicians. You know what I mean? Those are lukewarm people.
I don't know when they do those statistics of like Catholics that believe. Yeah. I don't know if it's the mass attending Catholics that do that. I'm not
there
sure.
There are still plenty of mass attending Catholics.
I'm sure. But it's like the statistic when you control for weekly mass attendance, the statistic about believing in the Eucharist like jumps up to 80%, and it's like, oh, okay, cool, that's fine.
That is nice. It's still 20%. It would be impossible to get lost in the Israeli desert, and I don't know why they haven't deployed this in the current conflict, but they have that blimp where they can just like spot people. You know,
I think the blimp is pretty far from where the conflict is.
You're telling me they only have one blimp.
That's true. It's probably got multiple blimps.
They told me we saw a blimp when we were driving around in Galilee, and our tour guide was like, oh yeah, that's the blimp that they use to spy on everyone.
It's super cool that they have that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Our government just uses our cell phones.
Right.
They kind of just work around that.
It was really funny to be in Israel with an Arab Christian who is an Israeli citizen who is like, yeah, the government, I don't like it. It was just fascinating.
He allegedly said those things.
He didn't say it, actually. And also, we don't know his name or where he's from. And you can't go back and find that information.
You think he'll get in a lot of trouble for saying certain things as an Israeli tour guide. Tour guide is like a licensable job.
That's true.
You can get it removed.
Do you think Bibi is going to listen to this and take away Hani's tour guide credentials?
Who's Bibi?
Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel. Yeah,
I didn't know his name. Is that the guy we saw on all the road signs? The guy going?
No, that's the guy they think is the new Messiah, the super Orthodox.
That'd be
Jews.
So. Imagine if that guy was the Messiah. That'd be so funny.
Who, Bibi or that guy on the road signs?
That guy on the. I saw some of those signs on like a lamppost in Brooklyn. I saw pictures of those. Like,
yeah,
that guy. Mm-hmm. They have a guy who's a Messiah figure, and he's just an old dude who's like kind of waving.
Haven't they read Dune? Don't they know that's a bad idea?
Yeah. Don't prop up a Messiah.
Yeah.
Not a good idea.
I guess unless your whole religion is based on waiting for a Messiah, you know. I guess you get a pass in that case.
You can do it. I mean, they got to find someone. It's kind of embarrassing at this point. You know what I mean? Like, they've been waiting for this whole time. Maybe I shouldn't get into this.
No, go into it.
It's been 2,000 years since the temple was destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to... Is it happening anytime soon?
I mean, if I'm a Jew and you ask me that question, I'm like, God, time is infinite for him. So 2,000 years is like nothing. So why am I stressed about it? I'm just going to pray my prayers and I'm going to grow my hair out the way that I see fit, and
take that little curling iron.
I'm gonna take that little. Do they actually use little curling irons?
Oh, well, I bet they have little curling irons. Yeah. if we were an adult animated show, it would smash cut to like a bedroom with the blanket over, and it's completely dark. And then there's a knock on the door, and like a woman sits up, and she's wearing curlers, and it's like, Ezekiel, did you hear that? And a guy sits
and
up,
he's got a hat.
Yeah. He's got curlers there. Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was like naturally curly. I just have never asked them. I didn't get the chance when I was over there to be like, give me the logistics about your getup.
Yeah, is it naturally curly?
Yeah, and I didn't want to interrupt them when they were praying at the Wailing Wall. That seemed to be the wrong time to ask that question.
Yeah, it seemed to be like a bad thing. Yeah.
Anyway. What were we talking about? Oh, we were talking about the Horns of Hattin. I saw, speaking of films, because I saw this in the movie Kingdom of Heaven, which you have, if you haven't watched, it's about the Horns of Hattin and the loss of the of Jerusalem to the what is later the Ottoman Empire. But the I saw a clip from the movie Far and Away. Have you seen this film, Far and Away?
No.
Thomas Cruise, Nicholas Kidman, Nicola Kidman.
No.
There, it's he comes over from Europe and he's like a brawler and he's in New York and he's tough and tumble. And then they go to Oklahoma and he does the land rush. Ooh. And he rides a horse really fast. They showed it to us in fourth grade history when we were learning about the land rush. And I saw this guy riding a horse.
The American education system will do anything to let kids watch movies in school.
Yeah.
They'll just do anything.
Yes. It's like, finally, we learn about fish, Finding Nemo, popping.
They're like, well, let's watch Finding Nemo.
Oh, we're going to learn about the international highway system developed under Roosevelt. Cars, pop it on.
Cars. Dude, in Spanish, they would just throw on a movie that was in English, but they'd just have Spanish.
No, we watched Spanish original movies. Like the movies, yeah. We never watched like English movies in Spanish. It was this one movie called Under the Same Moon, where it was about this dad and this son that were separated. And the dad was an immigrant worker and the son was trying to find him in, I think he was in America. And he was going, he like got what they were all these different situations, or he was trying to find his mom. That's what he was trying to do. He was trying to find his mom. And he was going through all these different situations. And there was this guy, and he thought this guy was his dad, but it was actually like his dad's friend or whatever. And then he like has to go work at Costco and he would do all these things. And then he eventually finds his mom. It's a really beautiful story of this kid not giving up, speaking Spanish the whole time. We didn't learn a lick of Spanish, but everyone cries at the end.
Ah.
What a beautiful tale.
What a beautiful tale.
What a beautiful woman in that film. All the guys were like, every time she would come on the screen, they'd be like, woo, she was just this beautiful Mexican lady. So our teacher would be like, stop, like we got in trouble. Stop it. Woo, yeah, bring her back.
Dude's rock, man. That's
being
so
a high schooler was so fun, dude.
Have you seen that video of those kids who were guarding the water bottle fountain because the little water bottle dispenser, when it shows you how many water bottles you've saved, it was at 69,420. And so they stood there and they wouldn't let anyone get any water. They had a guard
taking shifts.
So no.
Oh, man. Like, oh, the school, so the lights go out at the end of the school day and all you see is the small puff of a cigarette at the end lighting the hallway. Oh, man.
That's great.
That's really funny. Anyway, I was watching, I saw this clip from Far and Away, and it made me feel something, you know? And maybe you can relate to this, although maybe not, because I don't think you feel things in the same way that I do.
Like, my feelings are unique. I'm special.
I am special. I feel, I'm different than everyone else.
Maybe
and that makes me
millennial.
Better than them. What?
Maybe you are a millennial.
No, I couldn't. I take it back. It just made me, because I was seeing all these people, they were like, they're riding the carriages, they were riding the horses, they were doing all these things, and it was like this actual, like a life-changing, once-in-a-history event of like people being able to run across this land and like claim it as their own. And I was thinking about it, and I was thinking about like driving to work in like a car.
On that same land.
And I was just, yes, exactly. And yeah. I was just like, gosh. A lot is said about the despair that the modern age can cause to the masculine sense of adventure and freedom. But for some reason, seeing Tom Cruise ride that horse really fast, it just made me, I was like, man, I can never like ride atop my steed and go plant a flag in the ground and like get myself some land for my family. Like I could do that now, but I would get escorted off by the friggin' feds, you know? And it just made me sad, and I don't know what to do with that sadness in me.
Yeah, there's a word. There must be a word for that kind of deep sadness that you feel when you
when I can't ride a horse anymore.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's like, I don't know. It feels more maybe this ties into what I was thinking about.
Horse girls are preemptively sad. That's why they're so weird. they like think about the fact that horses are just not the way to get around anymore. And they're already sad about it in third grade, which is why they just like draw them all the time. Cause they're just, just ahead of the curve.
When I was in sixth grade,
yeah,
I fell in love with a horse girl. Did I tell you about this? Ooh. I fell in love with a horse girl in sixth grade.
Ooh.
And we were choosing reading groups. Uh-huh. All right. And there,
did you like, you sat out like an apple to try and get her to join your group?
I
pull some sugar cubes, out of your pocket to try that. Come on.
No, so there were four books to choose from, and like one of them was kind of cool. One of them was obviously boy coded. One was like a normal book, and then one was about horses.
Oh,
and I was like,
was it Black Beauty
or something like that?
Secretariat.
And I was like, I know exactly what to do. And so we were told to put our preferences in order. All right, and then the teacher would sort
ranked
us
choice
groups.
Voting.
Yes, our sort us into groups based on our preferences. And I was like, obviously, horse book. I knew she was going to be in the horse book.
You made
book.
A soul read. Yeah.
And so I got assigned. I was like, oh, man, like, I guess I got the horse book. Because like, no one would know that I had voted for it, right?
Right.
No one would know that I voted for the horse book. And I was like, I made a big show. I'm like, oh, man, bummer. Can I switch? No? Okay, sucks. And my teacher was like, Patrick, this was your number one point.
She narked.
I was like, dude. Be cool, homie. Jeez.
Just for 1 minute, please. Mrs.
Oh
Ferguson,
God.
Be cool. Goodness.
Come on.
For once in your life.
But apparently I fumbled the bag because my brother Nick told me years later this girl actually liked me back. I never did any. I know.
No.
Crazy, right?
Wow.
But
when she saw your powerful frame.
It's just the behemoth that
when
I
you
was
came back in. When you came back in from recess and you kind of went, you know, she really liked that when the air would condense when you would breathe in the winter.
When I would get the corn at lunch and I just like demolish it, put it in a bucket, strap it to my face.
Yes,
yeah. too much.
Oh man, when you're skittish around dogs, she loved that.
But yeah, that, so I fumbled,
Patrick trying to get the horse. He puts the blinders, walking to school on the side of his eyes, like
trying to get the horse girl to notice me.
Trying to get the horse girl to notice me by getting hit in traffic. All right, anyway.
I like have a big old bottle of glue. Like, hey, check it out.
Yeah.
Bye, Brock's horse.
This is my dad.
I carry that guy around, but sorry. So back to being sad. I became upset today. There's millennial coded things that everyone kind of instinctively knows is a millennial style thing. But like,
right?
I saw a post today that was like, you know, preparing 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. preparing for a call, 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. a call, 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. recovering from a call.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, people are unironically like this.
Yes.
Why are you like this?
Yes.
And that post juxtaposed to another post about Inside Out 2 just made me upset.
Oh, it got you going.
It did, because it was like Inside Out 2 is joy saying, I don't know. I don't have any power to stop anxiety. I guess that's just what happens when you get older. You just can't feel joy. And I was like, this person is the same. The person who like loves that is also the person who says that. It's like, you can't feel joy because you're anxious about things that aren't real. You're like afraid of talking to your boss because you like socially identify them as a parent figure and you're afraid of disappointing them. That's not real. That's like a thing you can just stop doing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
I think my former anxiety is getting cured because now it doesn't matter what my boss thinks about me. It matters that I can't afford a house.
Yes,
the rent, like that just feels more real. It's like rubber meets. It's like I have to. There's another person that's about to depend on me totally, and
well,
she's never been in the world before.
She's gonna need Phoebe a lot more first. You know.
Well,
what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, it's
as long as the milk is a flowing, like, Patrick can be a going
to work. And yes, sir. That's what I'm saying. It's like, she's going to need me in like a year.
Yes.
When she starts eating.
She's of course going to need you from day one. I was just being facetious.
Well, I meant for her physical needs. She'll need me. She'll need me as like a temporary holding guy while mom goes to the bathroom.
Yeah. You're kind of like a hat rack for babies for the first 3 months of her life.
Yeah. You're just like, please take over for a minute. I'm probably going to be running interference, honestly. Like, that's probably going to be my job. Like, Leo, hey, want to go? Yeah. I ask him if he wants to go jump on the couch. And Phoebe's like, can you please rephrase that? Because what he does, he stands on me and then jumps onto the couch.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, does he ever jump off of the couch?
No.
Why not?
Well, sometimes he does, but only to me. He likes to. He tries to do it to Phoebe sometimes, and she's like, that is a dada game. That's not a mama game.
She doesn't want to catch him. That's fair. How much does he weigh now?
He's like 35 pounds.
Yeah, that is a dada game.
That's a dada game. He's heavy.
Yeah, man. It's like a bowling ball hitting you right square in the chest. Well, because he doesn't know how to position himself well to be caught. He's just, when Peter jumps, he bounces his knees and his feet don't come off the ground, and then he just falls forward. And so it's just like, it's just not really a jump.
Leo has learned how to buckle his knees and just spring, fully leap.
Oh, that's good.
He's learned, and he loves hitting his head into things.
Uh-huh.
It's his favorite thing. Wow. The wall, the bed, my chest. He just he's headbutts. It's great. I miss that kid.
So you hate millennials and you think anxiety is cringe, is what I'm getting.
I do think anxiety is cringe.
Hmm. The joy tweet, and what was the other thing that you saw?
The phone call. People getting anxious.
Oh.
Having a phone call.
Yeah. I wonder how to solve all this. Because I think there's like a weird trad Catholic response where it's like, my kids are never going to go online, and my kids are only going to date to get married, and my kids are never going to, you know, we're going to kill boars and hogs.
And they're only going to eat beef tallow.
They're only going to eat beef tallow, and we're going to go out on a mountaineering trip. We're going to go fishing for our food, and we're going to grow our own bread and milk our own cows and get them cheese on
it. I will say, it is pretty cool to live in a place where you can fish. You can like eat the fish out of the river. Like, that is pretty cool. Phoebe and I went down to the pier the other day in Nogales.
Yeah.
And there's a dude just fishing and then cutting the fish on the deck and throwing it in the icebox. And he was going to go eat that bad boy later. And I was like, I love that. That's his dinner.
You love the idea of fishing.
I love that I live in a place where someone who is not a houseless person can fish and can eat food.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that someone can live off of the land near my house. What? I also saw dolphins. That was cool too. I live in a place.
I'm imagining you like 4,000 years ago seeing a guy fish and you'd be like, I love that he can do that. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's fundamentally like the activity has not changed since it was invented. You know,
back in the day,
it was like, wow, we need that guy so that we can all eat,
fish.
This is a really valuable skill. But now it's like, oh, look at him, man. He's so cool. That's millennial coded. That you saw a guy fishing. You saw a guy fishing. And you were like, oh my gosh, he's fishing. No way.
No, I'm saying I like that. I live in a place where he can do that. Because most places, if you shoot a deer in Pittsburgh, you go to jail. Because you hunted inside of city limits, you know?
It's not like my fault that's what they look like up there.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that it's cool that he can do that because it's legal to fish in the river.
You can kill deer in Pittsburgh.
You cannot hunt off-season in most forests, even like even wilderness. You can't hunt off-season.
In season.
You can hunt in season, but you still can't like fire a gun within city limits or something, you know?
What if it's on my own land?
That probably still not. Probably still not.
I think you should be able to hunt year round on your own land. And
I agree.
Take me away if that is a controversial opinion.
I think you should also probably be allowed to hunt year round on public land. I think that's...
Yeah, but then that provides, that's like a bit of a, I think the reason is that they have to keep the populations somewhat up, you know.
The problem is trying to do, there's now tourism to, you know, not like not densely populated areas that could sustain like 20 dudes living off the land. Anyway,
if we didn't have any restrictions on it, knowing America, we'd do what we did to them bison back in the day, and we'd just, you know. Now we have helicopters, you know. Imagine if the frontiersmen had helicopters.
Imagine if Billy the Kid rolled into town to rob a bank on a helicopter.
Right.
Incredible.
During the gold rush, the guy who made all the money, it wouldn't be the shovel guy, it'd be the helicopter guy.
Oh, absolutely. Do you know like those things, like if I went back in time, well, like let's show someone from, you know, 18th century England this food.
Their head
let's
would pop
bring
off.
A helicopter back to the Wild West.
This actually, no, I'm thinking of a different movie where dragons become real and they fight the dragons with the helicopters.
I need that movie right now.
I would love to watch it. I think it's great.
Ponyo.
Hey, thank you for listening to this episode of The Crunch. Sorry to interrupt what I'm sure is a stimulating intellectual conversation, but I wanted to pause the episode real quick to let you hear from some of our sponsors. We will be back right after this.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
Hey guys, Patrick is not allowed on this ad read. It is just me. We have a new partner, and they specifically requested that Patrick not be a part of the ad. We are partnering with Exodus 90. We are chatting with you about some new things that they've got going on here this summer. You've heard of us talk about Exodus 90 before. You're probably thinking of Lent and the cold showers and the exercising and the guys thinking that they're cooler than everybody else. But there's actually, and I'm not just saying this because they're paying you money, there's actually way more behind what Exodus 90 does. I mean, they have a whole app. They have a whole ecosystem. They have tons of things that are a companion to help you grow closer to God. So they try to walk with you, not just in the Exodus 90 program, but through their app and through their materials, so that you can really become the man that you want to be. And especially in June, they're focusing on devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Obviously, as June is the month of the Sacred Heart, as you would know, because it is my birth month, and anybody who cares about me would know that those things are correlated. I've actually taken a look at some of these daily scriptures that they've got. They've got some reflections, they've got some prayers, all about the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And you guys have heard me talk about this on the podcast for years about how much I love the Sacred Heart and that devotion. And they've even got something new called the Exodus 90 Summer Book Club. So I wanted to invite you guys to join the new Exodus 90 Summer Book Club to read the book Chastity, Reconciliation of the Senses by Bishop Eric Varden. And it's a huge new book. I don't think anybody has ever heard of this before. I've never heard anyone talk about this. So this is a cool new book on the scene, talking about how chastity is not just a prohibition, but it is something that will be life-giving, something that will make your life more full and help you to flourish. So you want to go to exodus90.com/thecrunch. You can check out this new Exodus 90 Summer Book Club to read Chastity, Reconciliation of the Senses by Bishop Eric Varden, exodus90.com/thecrunch. You get a 14-day free trial when you sign up with our link, exodus90.com/thecrunch. You can join the Summer Book Club. Who doesn't want a good Summer Book Club? Go to exodus90.com/thecrunch and check us out there. Thanks, guys. Talk to you later. Anyway, are we doomed?
No, we're not doomed.
Like, are you and me? Let's talk about you and me. Let's not get big picture. Let's just talk about you and me, Ethan and Patrick. What? Why are you laughing? Why is that funny?
The patrons are like, oh gosh, it did. I thought the bonus podcast was bad. It was the
no,
main show
no, no, no. This is legitimate. This is legitimate. Are you and me doomed to never have the limit of our like sense of adventure, like going to the Tetons? You know what I mean? To Rocky Mountain National Park. And sure, like doing a hike that's a little bit harder than what you thought it was. Or maybe like going to Budapest and like getting robbed. Like, is that the limit of what can happen to us in this modern age?
We went to a place and did a hike that's a little bit harder than we thought it was going to be.
That's what I mean. Like, is that the peak? You know,
perhaps.
There's no more land rushes. We're not going to Army.
No, we're not going to Army. We're not doing any land rushes. We're doing other things. It's
yes, those, but all the things
I think
that we
at
do.
At the end of the day, like those aren't even the things room. That mattered in those people's lives. Those people.
The land rush did matter.
Yeah. But it's like that wasn't the thing that mattered in their lives. The reason why they land rushed was not for the sake of land rushing.
I want to go on this boat, and I want to be. I want to be this guy.
I want to be that guy on that.
I want to be
boat.
This guy on.
You have a lot of. You have boat. A lot. You have a lot of ocean themed things for someone who lives in a landlocked state.
You keep calling Oklahoma a landlocked state as if it's like a diss, and it's not. We have the most inland port in all of the country, the port of Catoosa. It's a very valuable trade network, and I need you to put some respect on that name, please.
Catoosa.
Do not talk to me or my port of Catoosa ever again.
It is funny that is a nice little piece of trivia. I do also have
you don't have anything. You got an alligator back there. That's the only thing that we can see.
I got an alligator and I got a surfboard. It's covered in sex wax. That's what that stuff's called.
Is it really?
Yep.
That's disgusting. I'm also probably the reason that I'm melancholy today is because we just helped our friends load up their moving van and they're moving away.
Who? Which one?
Which is really sad. Not any of the ones that live close to us, but they lived in Edmond and it's Lexi and Dylan and they're moving. Man. They're both from Wichita. And so they were here because she was a missionary at the University of Central Oklahoma. And then she left staff and then they just had no reason to. I mean, they had me, but I guess I wasn't enough of a reason.
Stuff.
Yeah, so I helped them move. Thing. It's always sad when you like help a friend move.
Yeah,
you know. So I'm feeling double. I feel down because I'm feeling this right. Like I'm at the age. I'm about to turn 28. Ripe 28. I'm about to be like an apple that you forgot to pluck off the tree.
Yeah.
And you just feel like that there's these things will pass you by, you know, friends leave, opportunities disappear. And just like, I'm not having a quarter life crisis or anything. Like I'm not worried about myself or my place in the world. Like I'm perfectly happy with what I'm doing. I love my family. I love my community. You know, I love doing this podcast. But I'm never going to be on the boat, you know? Like, that's never going to be my life.
Sure you are. You're just going to go down to the port of Cayahusa. Calazusa?
Catoosa.
Canada Goosa.
Yeah.
What did I say? And then you're going to get on a ship. You're going to become a yeoman.
Oarsman.
And a boatswain.
I want to be one of those guys that heave-ho.
You want to be a galleyman? You want to be a galley slave? That's the slave.
Yeah.
Slaves in the galley.
Oftentimes I think that's what I deserve.
I'm a galley slave, baby.
Yeah. It's also the other thing that's making me think about this. I don't know if you ever think about this, but I recently found out some information about my great, great, great grandfather. Mm-hmm. Who came over from Germany. And I found out the city that he came from in Germany and like the year he was born in like 1849. And he came over to America in like 1884 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it just is like thinking about that and his whole journey of like, dude had to go from Lower Saxony to the Atlantic Ocean somehow and come over here. And he settled in Kansas. And I was just, I've just been thinking about that too, about how it's like.
When we crossed the Atlantic Ocean, we were watching movies.
we were watching the Fast and Furious franchise.
We sat on our gigantic white butts. Well, one of us did. Yeah. And we watched A Man Called Otto.
I watched A Man Called Otto. I dropped a green bean on my iPad. Does that ever like. I don't really have a point here. I'm trying to like communicate this feeling that like I can't get out of my head lately.
I get it. But I think it's like this is the people who fought for our civil rights, the Sooners, the reason why they Sooned, and the immigrants, the reason why they immigrated is so that their children could have lives of comfort. And so like at a certain, you just had to accept your lot. Where it's like, all right, our lot is to be comfortable, I guess. I'll take it.
Right.
And to be grateful for the sacrifices of my ancestors. Because the reason why they rode those horses fast and crossed those Atlantic Oceans was not for the sake of adventure itself. It was
for the
sake of their
family.
For a
better life.
Right?
Yeah, for a better life for
their
wives and children.
Yeah, and so the best thing that we can do is to like fight the little battles that we have that
are not.
So you're
saying I should go across the Atlantic for my wife and my children.
But to them, going across the Atlantic was not an
was equivalent to having
thing.
The phone call.
Not the phone a phone.
Imagine
call.
My calendar from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. stressed Sail about going across the Atlantic. Stressed about going across the Atlantic. 1 to 2 p.m. crossing the Atlantic. 2 to 5 p.m. recovering from crossing the Atlantic.
It's so funny. I mean, back then, a bunch of Germans were immigrating to the United States, so a bunch of people had done it before, and so it probably wasn't that interesting. Mm-hmm. Riding a horse very fast was a very common thing back then. He probably done it a million times in his life, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, things always seem normal when you're in them. Things mm-hmm. always seem mundane. I meant to mention this quote during the bonus podcast. It's a C.S. Lewis quote that he's like, isn't it interesting how day to day nothing changes, but year to year, like everything is like nothing's different, but everything changes over time. Everything changes. I forget what the exact quote is, but it was like, oh, yeah, that does make sense. It's like every day is the same, but over the years, like everything looking back, everything's different than it was, you know, like think about your life a year ago. Everything's different.
Yeah. That is true. It's weird to feel the experience of like sometimes. Do you ever think about when like you're like if you're just driving, you know? Sometimes I think about this, or if like I'm in line at like a store or something, I'm like, what if I like got hit by an oncoming vehicle and I just died right now? Mm-hmm. Like I don't think about this in like a fantasy way. Like I don't yearn for death, but like. It's kind of a gut check of like, okay, what if someone came in and just robbed the place? His gun went off, the bullet bounced off and like hit me in the head and I died, you know? It was a freak accident. Like what would that mean for my life? You know, up to this point. And it always, whenever that happens, it's like the gamer lean forward meme. Whenever I think about that, cause it's like, all right, I need to lock in. Because if I die tomorrow, then it's like, well, I don't want to spend the last 24 hours wasting it on whatever. But yeah. Then you like forget, like then you go back to business as usual, and then you forget that like any day could be your last day, you know, and hopefully it's not anytime soon. But really, at the end of my life, I don't want to look back and then be like, man, I was always waiting for like some grand Atlantic crossing moment, and then it like never happened. And like I let all of the little things that you're talking about pass me by. So like that's, I have that understanding. But when you're in it, it just becomes so normal. And then you're just like, I guess this is it, where I just like am trying to make as much money as I can to like keep my family fed and sheltered. And I'm trying to not be addicted to social media, and I'm trying not to sin in other ways.
Here's, so I guess I have that's it,
you know? Here's yeah, tell me the solution. Tell me.
We make a bunch of money.
Deal. I'm
Step
in.
One. Step we two. Buy a bunch of interesting and large purchases.
Like various the pool floaties at Costco?
Yeah, like the double chocolate, like the chicken bakes, the double triple chocolate chunk cookies.
Maybe large and interesting purchases. that's a guy. That's like that's an order that like an esoteric rich guy would give to like his servant. Be like, go and make some large and interesting purchases for me. And then the guy would have to just like figure it out what that meant.
You want to hunt people? Is that what you're asking?
It sounds like you want me to do the most dangerous game on your island. You want me to build Xanadu.
Is that what it was called?
No, that's the place where Citizen Kane lived in the movie Citizen Kane.
He lived in Xanadu?
Yeah, he built his little castle. It was called Xanadu. And it was so big and it was so empty, yet so full with so many things. The only thing he cared about was his sled. His little sled from when he was a boy.
Yeah.
Rosebud. You ever seen Citizen Kane?
Nope.
Okay, what was interesting purchases?
So we buy large and interesting purchases, and we do cool and interesting things. And then we have a cool and interesting podcast where we talk about all the cool and interesting things we did. And then other people say, man, I wish I could ride a cool and interesting purchase really fast through the state of Oklahoma like Ethan Stevie did.
You want me to ride my purchase?
Mm-hmm. A large and interesting, like a Maserati or a yacht.
Oh,
I think we should get you a yacht.
Uh-huh. You just want transportation.
Yeah. But like fancy transportation that has like leather seats that warm up and
cool down.
Yeah, I need like air conditioned. Do they have air conditioned seats? They do? Yeah. Oh man, we have not yet reached the heights of wealth.
Have you ever sat in a Ford F-150 King Ranch edition?
No.
It's amazing. You get in there on a hot day. It has a massager in the chair. Okay. So you get like a massage on your back, and then you can activate the cool jets and it blows cool air through the seats. So like you're getting cooled down and you're getting a massage at the same time.
Dude.
It's amazing.
How much are those? That sounds incredible.
They are $70,000 vehicles.
I'm going to rent one at a DM.
Yeah, just
rent
do it
one
for a day just to see what you're missing. I bet you know someone that has one and you can be like, can I just try that out real quick?
Hey, can I try the Ford King Ranch edition, please?
Please.
I would love that. Please. Peace. Yes, we would buy $70,000 cars and we would buy $100,000 boats. And then that, I think if we do that, we'll be happy.
Yeah.
That is the proxy though. People are like, I'm just going to purchase a large toy and I'm going to ride it into the ground. I do want a boat though. I will say that.
Yeah.
I live in a place where it makes sense to own a boat.
You do. The port of Catoosa is in Tulsa, so I don't live close to, but I do live near a lake. So I could, I could boat on my neighbor has a boat. He tows it out there every freaking weekend. Has a great time. Has been ever invited me. Never invited me.
Well,
once.
The cool thing about Melbourne is there's like a bunch of neighborhoods on the beach side that are built on canals. And so you can like go from the mainland of Melbourne from one of the ports, you can go to the restaurant Squid Lips where the locals eat and drink, and then you can just jet across the river over to the canals, go visit your friend, go up to some of the islands, then you can go out into the ocean, then go to Cuba or the Bahamas.
Should we do a podcast on a boat, you and me?
We should. And then you can pick up some Bahamian citizens and take them over to Florida illegally and have them work at your roofing company, which someone did.
That sounds great.
Here in Florida.
That's
human trafficking, Ethan. That's not great. I know.
It's good for the, I mean, if the guys got paid, it's not human trafficking if they were like, yes, I want to go work for your roofing company if you pay me. It'd be different if you didn't pay them. Then it's just kidnapping men and enslaving them. But I assume that they put together some type of agreement. Yeah, it's like the Bahamanian men, I consent. The roofer, I consent. Uncle Sam, I don't.
I don't. It's human trafficking. That's a funny meme because it is the thing that actually happened, but it sounds esoteric, you know?
Yes.
The roofer, I consent. The Bahamian men that I brought over on my boat, I consent.
I consent.
The U.S. government, I don't.
I'm telling you, man. We just let the boys play, you know? Let them get out there. Let them work. I have a couple of...
If a Bahamian man wants to get on my roof, I'd let him.
I have a couple of topics here, you know, kind of for the end of the show. Because we're running on fumes, and I had a couple of things. I have this tab in my Notion called Ongoing Podcast Ideas. I'm going to read them to you. I only have two. First one, Florida bank robber holding two hostages shot through computer monitor. Did you see this?
No.
He was in a bank, and he had two hostages on either side of him, so he was in the middle. And the SWAT team came in, and they shot him. There was a computer monitor and they shot through the computer monitor and they got him. And he just like fell in between the two like women that he had on either side, which is just an amazing shot. And I wrote this down, I said, is this a metaphor about big tech holding us hostage and killing us with screens?
Oh, yes.
Mm.
Wait, no, because he was holding them hostage.
Yes.
Lee County. This is in Fort Myers.
Yeah.
West Coast. It's where our friend lives.
Yes.
That's crazy, man.
Hostage, yeah, the video's wild. They censor it, so you don't have to like see anything, but you can see like them just lining up the shot and just through the computer monitor. It's kind of crazy. So I thought that was a cool little metaphor about how big tech is holding us hostage. What do you think?
I don't think that makes much sense because he's holding them hostage.
Yeah,
and then he dies.
I know.
So
another thought I had, I'll just read this here. It says here on the card, 1936 Olympics themed Happy Meal toys. That was the
1936?
Olympics. 1936. Yeah, that's the one that Hitler did.
Because it was in Berlin. Oh no, it's when he did.
Yeah. I just think it would be funny for like McDonald's to get canceled because someone finds like an old Hitler Olympics themed Happy Meal toy.
It like has a little button on the back you can press. Yeah. And the arm shoots up. Oh man, that's funny. Yeah. That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
It's got like a little Himmler sidekick. It's weird that Hitler had a sidekick named Himmler.
It could be cool cuz they could have like a little Jesse Owens, you push the button, his fist goes up. You know what I mean? Like they could have one of those.
Was that the same?
They could have one. Yeah, it was the same way. That's like why Hitler was so mad is because he lost to Jesse Owens.
Oh, he got so mad. He did
the boys
war.
In the boat. You have the rowing team and Hitler. And I think you could have one where you push the button and it does Hitler's like meth tweaks for when he was on amphetamines at the Olympics. Have you seen this video of him tweaking at the Olympics? It's he is freaking out. He is tweaking. It's very
Jesse,
funny.
We got to cook.
tight. So you could have one that does that. And then,
The premise of Breaking Bad that most high school chemistry teachers are so good at chemistry, they could make the most pure methamphetamine on the market.
Well, did you watch Breaking Bad?
I didn't watch the first couple of episodes. I watched most of it. I've seen the whole point.
You might have missed the key factor, which is that Walt is a genius chemist and is only a high school teacher because he got kicked out of his former partner's firm, like science firm.
Okay, I did miss that part. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So like he's made out to be this like mega genius that's way under his potential in terms of chemistry, which is why he needs to be
a high school teacher so he's not suspected.
No, he just is a high school teacher because he's a loser. And then his pride, because he thinks he's so much smarter than everyone else, is the reason that both the reason for his rise and his fall. That's kind of the whole point of the show, is that this guy who you think is sort of this like struggling guy who turns to a bad thing because he has cancer and he's like doing it for his family. You slowly realize over the course of the show that this guy is just like prideful and full of hate, and he hates himself. Yeah. And he has lots of regrets, and he's taking that out by becoming a meth kingpin and ultimately killing dozens of people in the process.
Yeah. Wow.
It's quite a program. And then the sequel, Better Call Saul, is a story about a guy, Slippin' Jimmy, who, that's his name, who really wants to be a good lawyer, who really wants his older brother, who he's always looked up to, who is one of the best lawyers in all of Albuquerque. All he wants is for his older brother to be like, "You're a good lawyer, Jimmy." But every single time Jimmy succeeds, his brother just pushes him back down. And this good guy that's in here gets hardened by all this rejection and ends up becoming Saul Goodman, the conniving, lustful, greedy lawyer that's on the billboards and ends up being a criminal. All because he kept getting rejected and didn't get the love and the acceptance that he wanted from his brother, but ends up going to jail and does the right thing by turning himself in. Honestly, Breaking Bad is a tough watch because it's like, it's somewhat violent and it's like not, it doesn't make you feel good because you're just like watching this guy's descent. Better Call Saul, probably one of the greatest television shows of all time because of
you think so?
Yes, because of the way it ends on a much happier note where like you see this guy go from this good guy and you see him just get hurt and hurt and hurt and you see like the very real and natural consequences of getting rejected like that. And then you see at the very end, like he like negotiates this deal where he's going to get the nicest jail cell and like he's going to have ice cream delivered to him every week. And then he like gives it all up and turns himself in and admits to everything and like takes all the heat for what he does. He takes responsibility. Mm-hmm. And he has a reconciliation moment with the woman that he loves. And it's like this beautiful, like, there's reconciliation at the end, right? He's accepted who he is, and he's asked for forgiveness.
I didn't finish Better Call Saul. Knowing my wife, this is kind of, like, strange. Yeah. She was the one who got really into Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul.
Really? That's so funny.
Isn't that weird?
I can't imagine her wanting to watch, like, I guess it makes sense if you skip the first few episodes because you miss the episodes where they melted a guy.
Wait, which ones?
It's like episode two. Yeah, Breaking Bad.
Oh, yeah.
Better Call Saul doesn't really have any violence, thankfully. Yeah. So it's mostly just lawyer talk.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Thank you for recapping me on the mid.
No, I just think they're just great. They're great programs. You know what I mean?
I would watch them again if I had time. We watched them pre-kid. So now I have to, I would rather work on other things. I haven't watched much television.
Yeah. I get that. That's it for our show. Thank you for next time. Every week I'm going to have a new segment called Ethan's Little News and Idea Roundup, where I bring you one news story and one idea for a Happy Meal that would get McDonald's canceled. And every week that's what I'm going to bring to the table.
That's too much, man. There's no way you have that every week.
No, I do.
Florida man accused of stripping naked, lighting dog on fire outside of Daytona Beach Hotel. Dad? I'm just kidding. Anyway.
If you like our show and you want to support us and you want us to do more of this type of content, you go to patreon.com/thecrunch. $10 a month gets you a bonus episode every single week. We have about 80 of them now, and you will get to enjoy all of those episodes just for $10 a month and every single one that we put out every single week. Patreon.com /thecrunch, $10 a month and up. We're on the road to 200 patrons. We've gained a couple more this week, so good work, everybody. We've got a long ways to go. We still need to hit 130, but once we're there, Patrick will
and we have
disfigure started, himself. What?
How much? So how so?
Just a pinky.
Just a little bit, not a big deal.
Just a little off the top.
A little off the top. Taper fade on my pinky.
Using that Ginsu knife to get your just a little taper fade. What were you gonna say?
I don't remember at this point. Right. I was too distracted by the pinky thing. Follow us on the Crunchcast on Instagram. Follow us on Twitter.
No, don't do that. One call to action.
One call to action. Follow us on Instagram. Other than that, no, I don't care. You can do whatever you want. You're adults.
Patrick, give anything else for the people?
Join us next week when we go back to the Horns of Hattin and do the Battle of Hattin 2, where we reestablish the Kingdom of Jerusalem. And I'm the Leper King.
Hattinage dreams.
There you go, yeah.
Thank you all for listening. Please pray for us. We'll be praying for you. We'll see you all.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.